This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 1862. Don't get salty about this new English slang.
Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 200 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection, with your American host, Aubrey Carter, the IELTS whiz, and Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, coming to you from Arizona and Colorado, USA. And to get your transcripts delivered by email every week, go to allearsenglish.com/subscribe. There are some new words in town. In this episode, we'll show you four fun, new, and trendy slang expressions that you can use to bond with your native-speaking friends or coworkers, but that won't make you sound like a teenager. Listen in today. Hey, Aubrey, how's it going? How are ya?
I'm excellent. I have a fun question for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
When's the last time you were salty?
Oh, salty. Wow, good question. I can be a little salty, a little testy sometimes, especially when it comes to, game playing, cheating in games, that kind of thing that can come out sometimes.
That's when I get salty. Just yesterday with my siblings, if someone disagrees about a rule, sometimes people are like super chill, like I'm fine with whatever. I'm not always that way. If I feel like there's a way that makes a lot more sense and someone's really pushing back, I'll get a little testy.
I'll get a little salty.
And then if I don't get my way, right? If people decide to go with what they, you know, with a different way and I disagree or something feels unfair, that's when I really get salty.
You go from salty to testy.
Immediately be okay with it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. This is great. Why are we talking about a table condiment right now, Aubrey? What are we even talking about?
Yeah. This is slang, guys, and it's new slang. We got a really great question about this word, and natives are using it more and more, as well as some other new slang words that we are going to share today so that you guys understand them when you hear them and can use them in conversation.
Yeah, not only are we going to show you the words, we're going to show you the intonation that goes along with it too, right? When this word is spoken, you know, you're a little salty today, right? There's an intonation there that's really fun to use, guys. We're going to show you everything you need to know. But first, Aubrey, what should our listeners make sure they do right now so they don't miss a single episode of All Ears English?
Yes, guys, hit follow wherever you listen to your podcast. 4 episodes every week. You don't want to miss any of them. So follow All Ears English wherever you find podcasts.
You got it. All right. This is a great question. I'm going to read the question from Kanan Okagawa from Japan. Here we go. Are you ready, Aubrey?
Yes.
Here we go. I am Kanan Okagawa, originally from Japan and studying currently in the U.S. My American friends often use an adjective salty, not as a description of taste, but in the other meaning. I looked it up in the Urban Dictionary, but they explained it in so many ways that I got confused. Could you teach me how to naturally use the word salty? Thank you. What a good question. I'm excited about this one because I love it when our listeners send in questions that are so incredibly up to date.
Yes, exactly right. This is newer slang. We've talked lately in a few episodes about some words that are going out of style, so that aren't used as much. All the words we're sharing today, you're going to hear them a lot on TV, on social media. People are using them a lot. It's new slang that's getting very popular.
Exactly. This is so good. And did you mention this in the IELTS Energy podcast over there with Jessica? You guys are over there twice a week. Where did you mention it over there? What does it have to do with IELTS?
We shared it as a really great adjective to use on IELTS, right? Salty just means annoyed or irritated. And it's a very good adjective for the IELTS exam because you have to use slang to get that variety of vocabulary. So it's episode 977 called The Skinny on Slang for Speaking Part 1, because we also talked about the skinny, shook, flex, some other new slang. So don't miss that to get some of that great new slang too.
New slang. This is why we don't learn English through textbooks anymore, right? Because the textbooks cannot teach you new slang, right? This is where you get it right here at All Ears English. So good. Yes, all right.
Language is evolving, right?
It's evolving.
You gotta learn how natives actually use it.
Exactly, Aubrey. So let's get into a little more context around salty for our listeners.
Yeah, let's give some examples. So just like Lindsay and I were saying, if you get irritated or annoyed about something, this is a great, it's a little more playful to say, oh, he's salty instead of he's annoyed or he's irritated, right? You might say, he got really salty when I took the last shopping cart. Imagine you're grocery shopping, you take the last one and you see the person behind you is super annoyed. Oh. That'd be a fun way to tell a friend like, ooh, he got kind of salty when I did that.
The look of death, right? People can say a lot with their facial expressions. I think sometimes people don't realize how much they say. I try to tone down my facial expressions because I think I'm really expressive and too much. People get the wrong ideas sometimes about things. And it's just not good. Like, we got to just calm down a little bit sometimes.
Yes, I'm the same. I'm super expressive. You can tell exactly what I'm thinking. Sometimes I'm like, okay, chill the face. Everything's fine.
Right. Don't you wish you were a bit more of a closed book? Like, people couldn't quite know what was going on. Like, a little more mysterious. I kind of wish that
I will
sometimes.
Have someone say like, oh, did that upset you? Upset? I'm like, oh, I didn't want them to know that upset me. Why can't I control my face?
It's all right here. I know. I hate that. Oh, no. Yeah. So is this, here's a question about salty. Is this used more often to describe a woman or a man, or is it both, would you say?
I feel equal. I feel like it's very gender neutral, right? Anybody who's irritated, I would describe them as salty. And it's fun just to use it alone, right? If you see someone that's upset, you might just be like, ooh, you're salty, right? If you see they're just a little irritated, a little frustrated, and it often diffuses the situation because it's playful. If you called them out and said, oh, you're clearly annoyed, you're irritated, that wouldn't, you know, it's not playful. It might make it worse. But saying, oh, playfully, you're a little salty, they might chuckle, they might laugh and be like, you're right. That's so silly that I'm upset.
Yeah, guys, that's a connection strategy, right? Put a little humor into things. Don't always make it so immediately stressful if someone's upset. There's another way that I like to use salty, more about kind of just a person in general, in an endearing way. So I envision, so over the weekend, we were up in Frisco, Colorado. We went camping and we went to a Boston sandwich shop. And the lady at the front desk was she's just a typical salty Boston woman, older Boston woman. Like, she had her Boston accent coming out. They had pictures of all the sports, all the like Bruins, the Red Sox, everything up there. She's like, what do you want? Right. Like, right. Just up front. Just wanted the order. No nonsense. But it's not an insult. It just means she's a little salty, a little like fast. You know, give me your order. Right. I just want your order and I want to take your money. Let's go. And here's your food. It's good food. Everything's fine. But she's a little salty.
Yes, right. This is a little, and I can see why. This is why Kanon Okegawa wrote this in, because when you see on Urban Dictionary, there are sort of multiple uses. It's really not that straightforward to say it always means irritated.
Yes.
Because this woman, she's probably not really irritated. She's just like a no
personality.
Nonsense. Tell it like it is. She's not super cheerful. She's not smiling at you and saying, right?
Exactly.
And we would also call that salty. So it's a little more like no nonsense, serious as whether you're irritated or not.
Yeah, this is something you're going to probably find a lot more on the East Coast than the West Coast. Speaking of, you know, the geography of the United States, we had a guest on recently who talked about New York City etiquette and etiquette crimes in New York City. And one of them was spending too much time in the deli line. You may encounter someone salty behind the deli bar. So don't spend too much time ordering your deli sandwich in New York City. Good stuff.
Yeah, or the person behind you might get salty.
Yes.
If we're taking too long, they're going to be like, hurry it up. We got things to do.
They can get salty. So guys, this is not just for a moment in time of a mood. It's also to describe an actual person and kind of their permanent character. But it's not an insult exactly. All right.
No, exactly. So it's playful. It's fun.
Playful.
Right.
Yeah.
Though you might get an earful if you tell that lady to her face that you think she's salty.
Oh, I would never do that.
I wouldn't risk it.
I would never do that.
Okay, let's do another one. This one's really fun. Teenagers especially are using it all the time, but I'm starting to see it everywhere. TV, movies, hear it on the radio. Yeah. It's the word bougie.
Yep.
Which means it's sort of marked by a concern for wealth, possessions, maybe respectability.
Yep.
And we use it as an adjective to describe people as well as things, decorations, food. I've heard avocado toast described as bougie.
So true.
Because it's like a little fancier, right?
Yes. Yes, I love this. It's so true. Yeah, and this is being used a lot more in my world, too. I'm hearing this a lot more. So I totally concur with you here, Aubrey, that this is English of the moment.
Totally. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys want to understand what people mean and be able to use it. It's actually short for bourgeoisie, the French word meaning middle class. Uh-huh. It began as a reference for those who preferred to live in cities in France instead of the countryside. And now it's used to refer to sort of the materialistic middle class a little bit.
Yeah.
Which falls below those who are very wealthy, right?
Right.
But we most often in the United States, when people say bougie, they're not thinking about the bourgeoisie, whether that's where this word came from
or not.
Wanting to say like, oh, you think you're fancy, or oh, that's a little fancy, right?
Or you just have a nice like pair of pajamas. Ooh, bougie pajamas, right? Like they look expensive and comfortable or something.
Yeah, exactly. Let's use a couple examples. This is perfect, right? To say, my mom is going wine tasting with her bougie friends.
Okay,
right?
So that's good. So they're just being used as an adjective, right? Mm-hmm. So good. In front of a noun. I love that. Interesting. Yes. Describing
and
the friends.
Mm-hmm. Like this has to do with a little bit with what they're doing. It's a little bit bougie to go wine tasting because it's sort of denoting a certain amount of wealth.
Yeah.
But also her friends, right? We're not talking about her, I don't know, country friends that are, you know, if her friends are a little bougie because they like wine tasting, right? The type of women who would like to go wine tasting, you can call them bougie.
A little bougie. Yeah. It's a little expensive at times to go wine tasting, right?
Yeah.
So that would qualify as a bougie activity. And avocado toast also does because it can be very overpriced.
Exactly, right? Look at him with his bougie avocado toast.
Mm-hmm, that's a great one. The little cafe down the street from my house, I do not buy food there because I think they charge you like $19 for an avocado toast. It's crazy.
That's crazy. That's very bougie.
Yeah. Guys,
because they're putting all this other fancy stuff on it, right?
Right. There's just like cayenne pepper and all these things. Guys, check out the episode that I did with Anna Tyree about breakfast and how breakfast has changed in the US and the UK. We talked about bougie, boozy brunch in the US and how this become a trend in the United States. You know, this bougie atmosphere of fancy food for brunch and booze and drinks and all of that stuff. So check that episode out. All right.
I have to share with you guys two quick examples since I wrote this episode just a couple days ago that my daughter used both of these.
Whoa.
We were making crepes for 4th of July breakfast with like Nutella and strawberries. And she just walked in and was like, ooh, bougie, just to have crepes, right? Just that the breakfast was a little nice, a little fancy, chocolate and strawberries on a crepe, like
that's
French,
nice.
Bougie.
Yeah, I love that. And what's
the
other
one more, we were getting dressed to go out for dinner. I'm not looking that fancy, but maybe I have earrings on and some nice shoes. And she just said, you're looking bougie.
Bougie. That's how you know a word is coming back into style. The kids are using it all the time, right?
All the time.
That's
so
funny. Fun. But this is not a word that's going to make you sound like a teenager either. That's the thing I like about these two words so far. Yes, the teenagers are using it a lot, but it's not going to make you sound like you're 17, guys, if you're using it either. Right. It's not a young person word.
It's definitely trending, but anyone can say it. It's not like, oh, don't say that unless you're a teenager.
Right. Exactly. I love that. It's important. Okay, good. All right, Aubrey, we have another word. I'm excited for this one. What is this that we want to teach our listeners?
It's really fun. So tea, or spilling the tea, which means sharing gossip or maybe a dramatic story. It's really similar to the more outdated expression, spill the beans. We don't really say that anymore. People now would be like, spill the tea, meaning like, tell me the news.
Oh, this is so funny. Okay, you're going to laugh at me so much. But until now, I actually thought that this expression was spill the tea, like tea standing for something. I don't know what. I didn't know what it was.
That's so adorable, Lindsay. I probably only know because my daughter. No, that's not true. I've listened to a couple podcasts where I feel like they say this all the time. Like, we've got some tea for you guys.
Yes.
We're going to spill the tea. But you just didn't realize it's tea.
I thought it was tea. And I didn't know what the tea stood for. I'm like, what is that? So I've been hearing this a lot.
Now you know, Lindsay.
I'm learning so much
today
on this show from you, Aubrey. It's great. I love it. All right. So sharing gossip. Here's some examples, right? You won't believe what I found out. I have got the tea. And in my head, that would have been just the letter T, that's wrong.
What's that stand for? Here's another one. Spill the tea. I want to know what happened on your date. So this is a great way to say like, give me the good. Give me the news. Spill the tea.
That's so funny. Okay. I love it. So guys, also very common. I'm hearing this even just within my own house in the last couple of weeks. So we could not get more current than we are now.
And again, right? Not just teenagers saying this. I'm hearing it on podcasts, TV, yeah. movies. You'll hear this all the time. Use it, right? And now you're going to know that it's not the letter T like Lindsay thought.
100%. I love it. All right. And the next one, I think we've touched on this on another episode, guys, about dating. But this is good because, again, something that the kids are using and adults are using too. Ghosting or ghosted. What does this mean, Aubrey?
Yeah, it means to stop communication or interaction with someone, usually via social media or text. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you might say like, I haven't heard from her in days. I think she ghosted me. Right. Means I might never hear from her again. She isn't texting me.
Yeah, we definitely don't recommend doing this, guys. It's so mean, right? You know, the dating world is hard, but don't do this to people. It's so mean. Here's the next example. I never texted him back. He's probably mad I ghosted him, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly right. You're right. It is mean. It's so much better to communicate and be honest and open, but it's so much easier to just ghost somebody.
It's so much easier. I know. Just to not. Yes. Okay, here's a question. When do you think it qualifies as ghosting? Like, okay, how many, usually it's usually on a, like in a date situation, a dating situation most
More
of
often,
the time,
yes,
right?
For sure.
So at what point, after how many dates in your mind, Aubrey, does it qualify as ghosting?
I think after one date.
Just
like,
one.
On
okay.
One date, if you never hear them for, like if you're texting like that was really fun, I'd love to go out again, and you never hear them from them,
it's
again
ghosting.
They ghosted
okay
you.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, fair enough. I guess that makes sense. Yeah, I think you're right. I was thinking maybe it should have been three dates where it would merit
like
a response,
a
but I think everyone deserves a reply. If they spent even an hour with you, they deserve like, oh, this isn't going to work out for me. Just be honest, you know what I mean,
right?
Guys?
Yeah. I know. I would actually prefer something a little harsh and blunt, like, so sorry, it's not going to work out, rather
yes.
than waiting and checking your text messages every few minutes.
It's
terrible to be in that place.
It's the worst. It's the worst. So, Aubrey, should we go into a role play for our listeners?
Yeah, let's do it. So here we're coworkers mm-hmm. chatting during a lunch break, which brings up the good point that all of this is appropriate for that informal conversation you have with coworkers.
Oh, my gosh. 100%.
Over coffee, over lunch. Definitely.
More than appropriate. We want you to use these guys
yes.
because this is how you build real connection. It's not through the formal English that we teach you in our business course, right? Although in that business course, we do teach you informal English, too. It's through these moments of connection, these informal moments where you're commenting on someone's bag. Oh, bougie. Where'd you get it?
Yes.
I like it, right? Things like that.
Yeah. And I know sometimes listeners might worry this, like, ooh, if it's slang, I don't know if people could be offended. Like, you don't know. All of these are not offensive, fun and playful. And so
you're good
these
to go.
All can be used.
You're in the safe zone here with these words, guys. So here you and I are coworkers and we're chatting during that lunch break, as we said. Okay, here we go. So how did your date go last week, Aubrey?
Ooh, not great. It was kind of a weird date.
Oh, yeah. We'll spill the tea.
Well, he was super late. You know, I hate that.
Oh, I hate that, too. I get pretty salty when people aren't on time.
Yeah. And then he was super bougie, bragging about his new BMW. He even told me how much he spent on his shoes.
Ooh, so no second date.
Nope. I totally ghosted him, which I wouldn't actually do that. I would have let him know. Maybe.
Oh,
no, I probably would. I don't know. I haven't dated in a long time, guys.
Yeah.
I would maybe be the one that ghosts somebody. I don't like confrontation.
Like, that's funny. So this is important to know. Talking about how much you spent on something. We've talked about this on the podcast with Michelle before. That's definitely a faux pas, really, in any situation. In last year with someone you're very close to, and you're discussing a deal, right? Want that item. That's a different thing. That's a special situation. But anytime you never want to talk about, oh, this cost me X amount of money, right?
Hey, either telling someone how much you spent or asking someone how much they spent are both just awkward. Don't do it.
Don't do it, guys. Avoid it, especially in American culture. But in other cultures, Aubrey, I mean, what about in, for example, in French culture, in Belgium? I mean, do you know if it's okay to talk about that in those cultures?
I never heard it come up in polite conversation. Nobody ever asked me how much I spent on something or how much I make and vice versa. So I feel like all of the cultures that I've really gotten to know well, it also is just not something that you would talk
about.
Not
in good taste.
It sounds a little braggy if you're saying how much, and it's just a little inappropriate to ask someone else what they're spending on the house or shoes or anything.
Yeah, it's like bad taste. It's in bad taste,
it's just
I would
in
say.
Bad taste. Good. I agree.
So let's go back through these words here. So spill the tea, as we know, it's T-E-A. It's that stuff you put in your cup. Okay, so spill the tea. So you said not great. It was kind of a weird date. Oh, yeah. And I said, oh, yeah, spill the tea.
Right? Meaning like, tell me the details, right? Yes. That's what this means. Spill the tea. Give me all the dirt. Give me all the gossip.
Give me all the gossip. Yes, perfect. And then what did I say, Aubrey?
Then you said, ooh, I get pretty salty when people aren't on time. And this is one for me, right? If I'm, especially if it's kind of urgent, like we need to get somewhere else, I'm waiting. Yes. I do get a little salty. I get a little salty. Irritated if people aren't on time.
Yes, me too. I like to be on time. I like to be on time.
Me too.
And then you said, and then he was super bougie, bragging about his new BMW, and he even told me how much he spent on his shoes.
So, and I think bougie. This is good to note, like, this is definitely being used more negatively here, right? I'm saying, oh, he's so bougie, bragging about his fancy BMW. Right. I certainly could have said it in a positive note if I had liked the date and be like, ooh, he took me to this bougie restaurant that was awesome, yes. Right? So this, there isn't necessarily a connotation built into the word bougie. It all depends on context. It can be a very good thing, or it can be kind of a bad thing.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And then I said, so no second date. And you said, nope, I totally ghosted him. Now, we can talk another day here, but you put totally right in before ghosted. How does that change the meaning real quick for a bonus for our listeners?
Yeah, so this is kind of me being silly and playful, right? Because I could just say I ghosted him, but that's kind of serious. That sounds mean. Yeah. And I recognize that this is something I probably shouldn't have done. So I'm using totally to make it a little more playful. My pronunciation would also be like, I totally ghosted him.
Yeah.
Like trying to be funny. And I'm sort of feeling like, he deserved it because he was a jerk bragging about how much he spent on his shoes.
Totally. And that's something you could do on the IELTS exam too, Aubrey, right? To increase your pronunciation score, adding that totally and then changing.
We highly recommend having like super way totally in order to use those easy adjectives that are very slang to get that variety of vocab for a 7 or higher on IELTS.
Yeah, I think that is a really, really smart way to go about the IELTS exam. Guys, go and find the IELTS Energy podcast over there. Jessica and Aubrey are over there twice a week. So good. What's the takeaway for our listeners today?
Yeah, it's just like you were saying, English is constantly evolving and slang is constantly evolving, right? Yes. Some of it goes out of style. Other words get adopted. It's really important to know which ones you can and should be using and which ones we want to leave for the teenagers. There's so many my daughter says that I wouldn't say she would be mortified if I said them, right? Like sus is a good example. Oh, she'd be like, oh, you're sus, meaning sort of like suspicious. Leave that for the teenagers.
Yeah, leave that
we're
for
not going to teach you to use that. You want to know which ones you can use, right?
Yeah, we're showing you ones that, again, like I already said, not going to make you sound like a teenager. Adults use this and we use slang because there's kind of an in-group, out-group thing going on when we use slang, guys, right? This is what language does. And we want you to be on the inside in connection with your coworkers, with your friends, with these people. And so when you use this slang, it creates kind of, I don't know, a familiarity between you and that person. So use them and have fun with it.
You're bringing them into your inner circle. Like you're both aware of this word that's very inside American culture, new and trending. Without having to say that, it's just automatic. You just know, like, okay, we're both on the inside here.
So take the chance, guys. Take the risk. Practice these. Use them and see what happens. And then let us know. All right. Good stuff. All right, Aubrey. Good times as always. I will see you on the next one very soon.
Awesome. Bye-bye, Lindsay.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to All Ears English. Would you like to know your English level? Take our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/fluency score. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.